We're going to talk now about the second Undersea Cable Symposium, which got underway last evening and I suppose probably gets underway this morning at the cable station in Valencia, taking a look at all matters and all issues to do with the huge number of subsea cables which flow through and run through Irish waters and connect us to information technology, security and all sorts of other important resources, energy as well in particular. With me on the line is John Rossley, who is Executive Director with the European Subsea Cables Association, talking about the importance of it and the conference, which has experts, as we said, from over 90 experts from all over the world, talking about all of these implications and the security side of things as well. John, good morning to you and thanks for joining in the programme. And listen, welcome to Kerry.
Thanks. Good morning, Gerry. Nice to speak to you.
It's a great location to have this conference running in its second year now, particularly, I suppose, given the history of subsea cables and the connection between Newfoundland and Valencia.
Yes, of course, yes. We've kicked off this morning with the an introduction from the Minister of Communications, and all going very well. We're very pleased to be here in Valencia again for the second symposium.
Yeah, indeed. And that's all part of the history of it. What about the future of it, John? What are the issues for your association that need to be addressed? And I was going to say by the Irish government, but really it's about European, it's about world governments, really, when it comes to protecting and developing these key pieces of infrastructure, which what subsea cables are.
Yes, of course. And for this symposium, we focus on the past, present and the future, because actually many of the issues which have faced submarine cables over the years haven't changed so much. We still talk about different marine users working together on the seabed, about fishing protection, about geological events, charting of submarine cables. The topics haven't changed so much since the first cables were laid and repaired in the late 1850s.
Yeah, and that's all part of it. Are we going to see many more of these developed as we look at maybe electricity grid connections, the ever-increasing demand for information technology, the internet, all of those sort of things?
Yeah, I think so. So we see definitely an increase in demand for capacity. So we see new cables being installed for telecommunications, but also for offshore wind and offshore renewable development and the transfer of clean energy. Certainly there's more congestion on the seabed, there's more development, so looking at marine spatial planning and how different industries and different sectors work together is also very important.
How challenging is the environment in which these cables are laid? The depth of the ocean that it has to traverse?
Yes, I mean, the marine environment is so dynamic. You have the sea is a difficult place to work in, the deep depth. It's a very, very interesting and difficult place to work. But I think there's a lot of experience there and ship operators are quite used to working in those conditions.
Yeah, and that's part of it. Does that feed into the concerns the industry would have with regards to the repair of the cables?
Yes, the industry is quite well set up to repair cables already. So we see around 150 to 200 cable faults each year worldwide. But actually the fault rate is declining. So we see a good news picture there that there's fewer cable faults year on year. And that's particularly the case in Europe. We've seen retirement of some older systems and sort of better installation practices. So there's a brighter picture there in terms of cable protection and cable repair overall.
Well, that is good news. Is the picture getting darker then when it comes to security? Have cables, I suppose, ever been more threatened in terms of sabotage and different actors in different states over the world looking to disrupt things in this increasingly technologicalized age we live in?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, and certainly one that we've looked at in detail with governments raising awareness and attention on the topic of security and resilience. I think there's different roles for industry and government. So the industry is quite used to repairing cables from the typical causes. But that greater collaboration, work on policy, work with governments, is a really positive thing. And I think the greater awareness that has picked up over the last few years certainly has to be appreciated.
Will Ireland have to do more heavy lifting in this area in terms of surveillance and protection, given the proximity of, is it two-thirds of all Northern Hemisphere cables pass through our waters?
I think it's a case of governments working together, working with industry. So there's a lot of policy developments there. And I think Ireland's doing particularly good work at the moment in furthering awareness, working with international partners. And there's certainly a lot of work to do there. But the industry's collaborating well to look at addressing all of those concerns.
Yeah, and I suppose it's not just Ireland, because these cables feed into the rest of Europe when they meet land. It's a European Union issue.
Yes, and Europe is doing great policy work as well. We've seen the introduction of the cable security toolbox, and certainly there's a lot of work in the Commission with Ireland involved very much as well, which is certainly looking for a better picture and more resilient cables overall.
Yeah. And that is, look, are you getting
sorry,
more?
Gary,
yes,
I'm
sorry,
just,
John.
I've been called back into the symposium because there's a technical issue with the laptop. So I might have to leave it there, but very nice to talk this morning.
No problem, John. And listen, whatever about the technical issues on subsea cables, you better get that laptop sorted before too much longer.
Exactly.
Thanks for talking to us in the program this morning.
Connection. Okay, thanks so
brilliant
much.
Stuff.
Okay.
There you go. That's John Rottesley, who is head of the executive director of the European Subsea Cable Association.